Good morning, Newville. I'll be reading the scripture verses on the back of the devotional. And what I'll be reading there is the actual and the potential. And there'll be excerpts from Genesis, Luke, and 2 Corinthians. And I'll be reading those up against each other. But first, I'd like to read the Psalm 139:16 verse inside your devotionals. Your eyes saw me. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. From Genesis, the actual. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. We will begin again. The actual. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And the potential. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. The actual from Luke's gospel. While he was still speaking, someone came from the synagogue leader's house saying, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." The potential. Everyone was crying and mourning for her, but he said, "Stop crying, for she is not dead, but asleep." The actual from 2 Corinthians. Outer person being destroyed. Therefore, we do not give up, even though our outer person is being destroyed. The potential. Inner person being renewed. Our inner person is being renewed day by day. The actual from 2 Corinthians, momentary light affliction. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. That was the potential. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. He has revealed him. And may God bless that reading of his word.
What we've been talking about lately is the hidden life that Paul talks about. We're talking about the hidden life that Jesus talks about. And this is an aspect of Christ-likeness that is overlooked. Jesus out-imagined his enemies. What we're talking about is Christ-likeness, a facet of Christ-likeness that is powerful and life-changing. In that you and I are to do the same thing. And we've been given the tools and the equipment to do it, and that is to out-imagine the enemy. Because the enemy, by way of review, the enemy wants to keep you tied down to the mundane. John 8, 23 and 24. The enemy wants the consequences of being tied down to the mundane to be what defines your life. But we as the people of God need to appropriate this power of Christ-likeness so that it materially affects our lives. And I said last week, knowledge is not enough. Knowing this is not enough for you. I know that. It has to be born from experience. For you to out-imagine the enemy, you have to experience the potential of our lives. I remember our little three-word triad, and that is see, experience, apply. What you see and what your experience is, you will apply as that which defines your life. Jesus and Paul say this. Well, the first is normal. That's normal. That's how people live. But we, Christ-likeness, I bet you never thought of this as an aspect of Christ-likeness. See, we think of Christ-likeness as goody-two-shoeism. Yeah, we do. But Christ-likeness is so much more expansive than that. And what Jesus says and what Paul says is, here's what you should do. What you don't really see with your retinas, what you don't see, you can experience, and you should apply that as to which defines your life. You out-imagine the enemy. So what we're going to do, see, and you have an actual, right? Teresa read the actuals and the potentials. So you all have actuals. I have actuals. That means what your earthly facts are. That's your actual. That's what you see with your retinas. But God's people, like no other people, have opposing truths in our lives. Nobody else has this. You have an opposing truth. And that's the potential that we read. Your actual, what you see with your retina, and then you have an opposing truth, which is the exact opposite of what you're experiencing here and now. And because of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit is that He gives God's people the ability to have these opposing truths coexisting within our lives simultaneously. And the trick is, and I'm going to teach you how to do that in a Sunday or two, the trick is that we live out of the potential. We take the opposing truth of our heavenly truth and we live out of that and we experience it and we use that to apply to that which defines our life. But we talked about that this morning in your class, I think, Teresa. You touched on this from the First John. So I hope to do it in an interesting way today, and I hope to point out something about God to you. That God always works the same way. God always works with this. There's an invisible thing that underlies and is foundational to what you see. There's always an invisible underlying the visible in God's world. Now you look at the quote there. That's a great psalm. Have you ever looked at Psalm 139:16 and let that wash over you? That's the quote inside your devotional. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty and chaotic. I want you to watch how God works. You saw me when I was formless. This is amazing. Listen to this next. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Hidden life? Catching it now? Invisible days? When I was formless? When you were formless? God saw you, God saw me, and God saw our potential, and God knew what the end was going to be from the very beginning when I was formless and when you were formless. And those are my invisible days. That's your hidden life. Do you see this? That's my hidden life that Paul alludes to in Colossians. my creation days. All of my creation days were written down and planned before a single one of them happened. Sovereignty of God. Well, then why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? The psalmist would say, that was written down and planned. I'm somewhere between, and so are you. This is how you're going to understand your hidden life. I am somewhere between Genesis 1:2 and Genesis 1:31. I'm somewhere in there. And when God created, he started with a formless, dark, chaotic mass in Genesis 1:2. He started there. But God saw Genesis 1:31. Because in Genesis 1:31, he says everything that he had just done was very good. But it took creation steps. It took creation days. Why didn't God just, because he is sovereign, and why didn't he just by fiat make it Genesis 1:31 immediately? Do you see that God went through a creation process with the earth? There were creation periods called days. And each creation period led to, now this is going to help you. Because you're somewhere right now in that period. God works the same way. The psalmist says that. We were formless at one time, just like the earth was formless at one time. And day by day, creation period, God made the invisible visible. Genesis 1:31, the part and parcel of the finished universe, was already there. It was invisible. The author of Hebrews says that in Hebrews 11:3, that the universe that we see was made for things that were not seen. I'm making this confusing. I know that. And I have to reboot because the truth held here is really good for us. And that is this. Each creation day in Genesis, there was continuity. There was continuity. Day 4 led to day 5. Day 5 led to day 6. And not only was there continuity, but there was derivation. Derivation. What do you mean by that, Tim? I mean that everything that happened on day 2 was necessary for day 3 to come about. Everything that happened in day 3 was necessary for day 4 to come about. Now, how are your days coming about? You're in a creation period of going toward Christ-likeness. And God is recreating. God is making you the same way that he made the earth. He's doing the same thing. He starts with a formless being, and he takes us through creation days until we become Christ-like. He's taking us from Genesis 1:2, and his goal is to make us Genesis 1:31, where he steps back and he looks at his final creation and he says, that's very good. Now, let's personify creation, because Paul does it in Romans 8. He says creation is eagerly waiting with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. He's personifying creation. Isaiah personifies creation, meaning he makes it a personality. He says that, for instance, the trees will clap their hands, you know that, and the mountains and the hills will break out in singing before the sons of God when they appear. So let's personify creation. Let's take creation and then apply it to your life and to my life. Creation could have said, on day three, this is all I am. Creation could have said, this is the totality of my existence. Because day four through day six were hidden, you see. Day four through day six were hidden. Your days are hidden. And you can say that what I am presently experiencing is my life. What I'm presently experiencing is what I'm going to use to apply to define my life. Creation could have done the same thing. But you see, other days were coming. Other days are coming for you and me. And I don't know what day I'm in. I don't know what creation period that I'm dealing with right now. But I cannot look at the present experience that I'm having like creation could not look at its present experience and say, this is what I'm going to be. Creation came step by step, day by day, into exactly what God wanted it to be, to the point where God said, this is very good. I am on that journey. You are on that journey. We started formless, but God saw us. God sees our potential from the beginning. Do you think God did not see the potential of the universe from the beginning? God knew exactly where it was going. God knew that it was going to be called very good. God had an image in his mind. I know that this is stretching the borders of language. I'm aware of that. But God knew. God knew in Genesis 1:2 what Genesis 1:31 was going to look like, and yet God took the creation itself through steps of becoming complete, of becoming what he wanted it to be. My 1:31, your 1:31. You know what I want to say to God? Maybe you do too. I don't like this day that I'm in. I don't like being stuck in this day. And creation could have said the same thing. Here I am stuck in day three. Where is day four? Where is day five? Where is day six? You see, we're in a particular day right now. But your particular day is absolutely necessary for the next day to appear. Day four is absolutely necessary for your day five to appear. And the temptation, see, this is tied down to the mundane. The temptation and what the enemy tries to get you and me to do is to think this is it. But Paul says, seek those hidden days. Set your mind on those hidden days. Seek what is above. Jesus says, don't be tied down to the mundane. Be in touch with what is beyond your horizons. Each day in Genesis was revealed and became concrete and became tangible when God deigned it to be so, and that was when God's word intervened, when God spoke into that chaos, is when the next day became tangible and became visible. Now, I have to trust God, and you have to trust God on these things, that I am in the day I should be. My creation into Christ-likeness is exactly where it should be right now. And I will go and my hidden life will be revealed to me. Is this making sense? Yes. Good. My hidden life will be revealed to me if and when God deigns it to be so, and when he speaks it into tangibility and into being concrete. That's what God did with creation. He spoke and things changed. He spoke and day four became day five. He spoke and day five became day six. But ever and always understand, if you are a child of God, if you're a man or woman of God, your day four is necessary for day five. Your day five is necessary for day six. You may not understand it, and you may not like it, but we serve a sovereign God who is doing this for a reason. He did creation for a reason. Why did God do that? Why didn't God just by fiat make it Genesis 1:31 immediately? Have you ever thought about that? Why doesn't God just by fiat make me Christ-like right now? So I have to believe my day 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are necessary. And that when God speaks, like Paul says in Colossians, your life is hidden. You see, creation, parts of creation were hidden, but they were there. Your life is hidden. This is good. This is good stuff. Your life is hidden, but it's there. You may be in day 3. You may be in day 4. I don't know. But it's there. Because creation was there. The author of Hebrews said, we know by faith and understand that God created the universe by his command, and that what was visible was always there as invisible, and it became visible when God spoke and became tangible. That is our journey to Christ's likeness. We trust God. We know that the next day is coming. We know that we have a hidden life. We know that it presently exists. We know that it's there. My day 31, 131 will be revealed by his word, and my day 131 will continue into eternity, and so will yours. And so, we look at the actual versus the potential, ever and always. Look at the actual versus your potential. And let's go through these on the back of the devotional so that we understand actual and potential. Because right now, there was a time when I was formless. There was a time when the earth was formless. But the Spirit of God was hovering over that formless mass. And the Spirit of God is hovering over me. And the Spirit of God is going to bring to completion my journey to Christ's likeness. And it sometimes is a rough road. It's a rocky road. But each day will build on to the next day. I want my day 3 to go away. Hypothetical. I wish I hadn't had day 3. You got any day 3s? If I hadn't had day 3, day 4 is not happening. See, creation could have done the same thing. Creation could have said, well, this being just dry land and water and this expanse between the two water, is this it? There's no life, there's no plants, there's not even any sun. Is this it? You see this? But the next day was coming. And the next day was derived from that day. That day that you may hate, that day that dogs your steps, all my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Listen, people of God, if we eschew a particular day in your creation into Christ's likeness, you are actually you see, railing against the sovereign God who planned your life and had it written down before one of them even began. Can we trust God with this? You see, that's where you get hung up. Because your actual day 3 is right here, right now. And your potential, day 6, here it is also right here, right now. When God speaks, and when he deigns it to be so, it will be revealed to you. but it will not be revealed to you 1 second before it should be. God did not move to day 5 after day 4 1 second before it should be. When day 4 had done its thing to the earth, then it was ready for day 5. You may not be ready for the next day. But the worst thing you can do, and what the enemy does to us, is to keep you stuck in that particular day with no vision of your potential. This is Christ's likeness. For the glory set before him, he endured the cross. You see that? Something invisible, your hidden life, is already in existence. So hard for our Western minds to get around this. So hard to grasp. But God has always worked this way. I hate the day I'm in. Move on. You know what God's waiting for to move on? Your acceptance of the day you're in. Try that on. I'm going to keep beating against the door of heaven until my day 3 is changed. You're getting this now, I think. I think so. And the moment I stop beating against the door of heaven, railing against day 3, I don't know why I'm picking on day 3, but it seems to work. It's kind of in the middle. The minute I stop railing against that and beating on the door of heaven, change day 3. If you lose your life, you'll find it. He says, when I stop that and I accept day 3 as part of my hidden life, that was written down and planned before one day even was lived by me. My acceptance of day 3, then God will speak, and then day 4 becomes evident. Good? You see, that's the enemy. What did Kay say this morning? Kay, you said something about victim. What was that? A victim always keeps the past in the present. You see, that's exactly what I'm saying. And God will not progress your days of creation into Christ-likeness if and until you accept that day as part of what was written down and planned for you. And Lord, I don't understand it, but God, I know you're sovereign. That's what I'm waiting for, day 4. There's a reason that God took the universe and went through these days of creation. There's a reason for that. It is a sign and a showing to us, his people, that this is how he works. This is what he does. How long did it take him to evolve a nation into where it could produce the one? Why didn't he just have Jesus of Nazareth arrive on the scene? It took him, 2,000 years to work with a nation? 2,000 years of creation days to get to the point where the one could come? You're in there somewhere. I want day 1. I want Genesis 1:31 right now. You know, I could say to Teresa and I said last night on the swing, you know, God, we've had enough experience. You know, I think we got it. We've got enough experience. We want the next day. No, the enemy wants you to rail against this, to rail against it, and to be angry at God and to grumble, like the Israelites grumbled against God. What do you do? What did God do when they were grumbling? You're going to stay here 40 years. If it takes 40 years, you're staying here. We're not going to the next day until you accept. Do you believe God is sovereign? Yet we're doomed to make decisions. I don't know. You wrestle with that one because I can't figure that one out. But if I believe what the psalmist says here, my days were planned and written down before I even was formed. Well, I have to do business with that. And that Holy Spirit then took me back to Genesis. And it says, look, Tim, this is exactly what God did in Genesis. And the same word is used, formless. But God saw. It was already there. God saw creation at the terminus, at the end. He sees your creation at the end. He sees mine. How's your actual? Look at the back of your devotional. Let's go through these actuals and potentials real quick. The actual, Genesis 1:2. Dark, empty, chaotic. That was the truth on the ground. What's the potential? Light, full, purpose. And what changed it? God's word makes the hidden potential a visible reality. And I want you to hold on to that statement, because later on, that's going to come into play as to how we live out of our potential. Yes, you can live out of your potential right now. You can live out of your Genesis 1:31 now. Let's look at the next one. The actual, Luke. What's the earthly fact? Your daughter is dead. The potential. She's not dead. Only sleeping. Do you see this? Light bulbs going on. What changed it? Again, burn this into your brains. The word of our Lord changed it. The word of our Lord brought the potential from that actual. The word of God brought the potential in Genesis into the actual. No, reverse that. The word of God brought the actual into the potential. How about 2 Corinthians? What's the actual? Our outer person is being destroyed. How old I am. I'm so old anymore. I mean, I sit down on a swing for half an hour. I can't get off. Forget about picking something up off the floor. I mean, if I drop something on the floor, it's there.
That's what those grabbers are for.
Grabbers. Or I wait till Tom and Inga bring up their German Shepherd and he'll eat it, whatever it is. So, see, the outer person is being destroyed. That's my actual. What's the potential there? Inner person being renewed. And they are occurring simultaneously. You have simultaneous truths occurring within you right now. The actual. Momentary light affliction. What's the potential? Incomparable eternal weight of glory. Do you see how God works? Do you see this? Behind every actual earthly fact is a potential heavenly truth for you and for me. And here's the part that's hard for us to grasp. It's already in existence. Well, how do you know that, Tim? The author says, by faith we understand that the universe was made by God's command, and the things that were visible were made from things that were invisible, already there. The part and parcel of your hidden life, already there. Already. The opposite is already in existence of your actual earthly fact. When we go through these things, they were already in existence. Stop waiting. That's what Scripture screams at God's people. Stop waiting. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said the kingdom of heaven is among you. Nicodemus, you can see the kingdom of heaven. Paul, you've been raised with the Messiah. Seek what is above. Set your mind on what is above, not as what is on the earth. Paul, so we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Focus on, Paul says, the potential, and watch what will happen, which we'll get into next week. What will happen is that comes back and changes your actual. Seek first the kingdom, Jesus says, and all of the actuals will be provided. Wonderful concept, beautiful concept. Momentary light affliction, what's the potential? Incomparable eternal weight of glory. And here's what I want you to understand. There is continuity and derivation. Meaning, your momentary light affliction has continuity with your incomparable eternal weight of glory. And it is derived from that. Your incomparable eternal weight of glory, your potential is derived from your actual. And they're not separated. They're derived from it. I hate my actual. Well, guess what? That's what's going to produce your potential. Or we can say, Psalm 77, we can say, your way, O God, is holy. And you watch. You watch the potential come to your life. Jesus and Paul saw God's potential. They looked at the actual and they saw the hidden potential. They out-imagined the enemy. But was this confusing? Was this clear?
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense?
Pretty heady.
But you're grasping it, aren't you? It's starting to scratch the surface, isn't it? The most powerful thing that you can do today, and I can do today, is out-imagine the enemy. Satan, I see my potential. And Satan says back, you got nothing but day three. And you're stuck there. I know of what I speak. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessing on this. I pray that the Spirit would take these words and enlighten us. Amen.